Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to Pod TST and Chargers Lately. I'm Kenneth Arthur with Turf Show Times. With me this week is Michael Peterson of Bolts from the Blue, the Chargers blog at SB Nation, as well as Chargers Lately, his Chargers podcast for SB Nation. And we are both covering the teams that play at SoFi Stadium here in Los Angeles, the Rams and the Chargers, and the SoFi Stadium is host to the Super Bowl next year. We just saw the Bucs become the first team to host the Super Bowl, and they won. So what would happen if both teams were hosting the Super Bowl? How would that be solved? But that's what we're going to try and figure out. Well, definitely that's exactly what we're going to just talk about for the entire time here, is how to solve the question of who would host the Super Bowl. But first, we'll talk about each team completely in depth here and where they are in their respective formations as they try and get ready for the 2021 season. The Rams making it to the playoffs last year, and the Chargers not getting that far, but having a very high expectations, reasonably so, based on some stuff that we saw last year. So I'll talk to Michael about that. Michael, thanks for doing the podcasts together here this week. I think it's good to get some LA football discussion going now that there are two teams in the city. But first, for the people who are listening to this on the Rams side of things at Turf Show Times, would you just sort of summarize how did the Chargers do last year? What were the main takeaways for the 2020 Chargers?
Yeah, so first off, again, good to be talking to LA football. News is kind of dry right now heading up to the combine. There's lack of a combine. There's pro days, though. And with the NFL draft, you know, late next month, we got to do something, right? So, yeah, let's talk about the Chargers. If you want to paint a clear picture that covers just about everything, you got to talk about the good and you got to talk about the bad, because there was plenty of both. Obviously, a little bit more bad, having them finish with a losing record, 7-9, did win the final four games of the regular season to finish with that record. Could have been a lot worse. Most of the season, these guys were kind of headed towards, a top five pick potentially, but now obviously pick a 13 with that late season resurgence. The Chargers 2020 season, you know, obviously you have to talk about Justin Herbert, this guy who many people maybe didn't hold in such a high light coming out of the 2020 class. You know, it was Joe Burrow, it was Tua, and then there was like some significant space before people said, yeah, it's Justin Herbert, you know. People written him off. There was all kinds of things, you know, from Pro Football Focus to other media groups that just said, you know, almost plainly that Herbert just flat out can't play. basically saying like, it's not, you know, he doesn't have just a bunch of, you know, or a few bad things with his game. It's just like a ton of bad. Like, he's just not going to be a good NFL quarterback. Well, obviously he proved all of them wrong with this full record breaking season. Most touchdown passes, total touchdowns, second in total yards behind Andrew Luck from 2012. I mean, the guy rewrote the record book. So despite that amazing play from Herbert, the Chargers struggled in the ways that they normally do. There was the injury bug rearing its ugly head for what seems like the umpteenth time of the last, you know, 10, 15 years. There was the close losses, which is something that unfortunately marred the final two seasons of Anthony Lynn's time with the Chargers, is that it didn't matter if the team was up by 10 in the fourth quarter, 12, 14, and even, you know, at one point, 21 points in the fourth quarter this past season, the Chargers just kept finding ways to lose. And it wore on the team, it wore on the fan base, and obviously it wore enough on the front office to relieve Anthony Lynn of his duties. Now, with a 7-9 season, you know, to look back on, there was some good, again, still a lot of bad. The Chargers decided to go in a different direction and now have Brandon Staley as their head coach. He is what people are considering maybe a defensive-minded Sean McVay. Obviously, there was the big McVay craze where everyone wanted to hire anyone who breathed the same air as Sean McVay over the last couple of seasons. And the Chargers kind of dipped into that pool. And things are exciting looking at 2021. I know we'll talk about more of their expectations in depth, but overall, it was a roller coaster in 2020, but still plenty to kind of hang your hat on heading forward.
Yeah, not the kind of not the best roller coaster. Roller coasters don't always just go up at the end. Just getting off the roller coaster at like the top of the mountain, because as you said, they won their last four games, which I know a lot of Chargers fans, at least someone that I spoke to, was worried that that would keep Anthony Lynn on the team, which, as you said, is not the case. For anyone listening on the Chargers side, you know, a quick summary of the Rams would simply, I think it was in a ways a lot like the 2019 season. The Rams went 10-6 after going 9-7 the year before. Not enough on offense. The difference being that the Rams did have an elite defense last season, number one in a lot of respects, a lot of different measurements. And of course, Brandon Staley being the defensive coordinator of that defense now with the Chargers, a lot of that having to do with having Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, but at least the Chargers know what it's like to have, you know, an elite pass rusher and an elite secondary player. So it seems like a good fit there for Brandon Staley. The Rams beat the Seahawks in the wild card round of the playoffs and then lost to the Green Bay Packers, a game that I feel will get forgotten about as one that the Rams were closer to winning than a lot of people expected. The Rams, you know, there were a few plays in that game that, and maybe just one or two plays in that game, that if they had gone a different way, you were just saying there were opportunities there at the end for the Rams to get the ball back. Some non-calls on defensive pass interference or offensive pass interference, and that would have potentially gone the other way. And it's not to make any excuses for the Rams. It's just saying that sometimes teams are closer to winning games than the box score or memory will indicate. And a lot of people would have said that the Rams were going to get, you know, really blown out by the Packers. That wasn't really the case. So the Rams are looking to get better with the help of Matthew Stafford, who they traded for last month or right at the end of January, I think. And Matthew Stafford will be the quarterback next season instead of Jared Goff. So that seems to be what a lot of Rams fans and the Rams will be looking forward to, is even if everything or most of things will be the same as they were the last 2 years, they will also be the same as they were in 2018 when the Rams went to the Super Bowl. And the difference is that Matthew Stafford will be the quarterback. How has the first, you know, month and a half been with Brandon Staley? How has the atmosphere around the Chargers, do you think, changed because of Brandon Staley?
Dude, honestly, Brandon Staley knocked out his introductory press conference, knocked it out of the park. Absolutely. You could just feel the overwhelming amount of energy and excitement and almost just like wisdom coming from him as he speaks. And that was one of the first things that many of us, you know, on the calls pointed out, is that this guy is just obviously so incredibly smart. And then the energy he brings, it's just tough to not listen to him speak about anything, but especially football, right? That it's tough not to get your hopes up. I think this is one of the best things to happen to Chargers fans in a long while. And again, you know, a game hasn't been played, nothing's happened, but just based off him speaking and first impressions, and then, you know, going forward with his staff, obviously meeting our new OC in Lombardi, DC in Delano Hill, Ronaldo Hill, Darius Swinton II, our new special teams coordinator. Every single guy just exerted similar energy, similar intelligence, and just the way they spoke about the game and how they want to go about their business. It all just connected. And this is something that the Chargers in front office, the Spanoses spoke about, was really creating a vertical tree when it comes to this team. And they, you know, it was not exactly the word they used, but that everything's going to stem from the top. So Brandon Staley is going to be on top of offense, defense, and special teams. And there's just going to be a vertical funnel of connection from top to bottom. And again, that speaks volumes to a fan base that watched the special teams unit for the Chargers last season go from George Stewart to then two guys you've never heard of handling it, to then it was two guys plus a little bit of Anthony Lynn. And then at the end of the season, Anthony Lynn taking it over by himself. And I'll give it to Lynn. He actually made him look really good those last four games. Nasir Adderley had a 53-yard return, a 76-yard return. They stopped letting kits get blocked. I mean, they were playing much better. So, but it, you know, too little, too late here. So, if you want just first impressions alone, Brandon Staley has just absolutely killed it. And then, just as someone who handles the media, the way he answers these questions, I mean, he is—he's thoughtful and proactive and just wanting to give you the best information, the best answer possible. I mean, like that earned everybody's name.
That makes sense. You know, the fact that McVay, you know, I think connections to McVay aren't just, you know, connections to McVay. I think they're also signals to the rest of the league that that McVay liked this guy when he picked him a year ago. What did McVay, you know, that I think it's like he's a maybe McVay being, like that good talent scout. Which, you know, Rams fans will be hopeful for with regards to having Raheem Morris replace Brandon Staley as the defensive coordinator, and the Rams have several new assistant coaches and all that. But it does sound like it'll be interesting, too, to have Staley still coaching in Los Angeles, in SoFi, even though, I mean, Rams fans and, you know, it's just one year, one season in the organization, although albeit a very successful season. Even now, you know, I still see, you know, some there was criticism of how Staley or how the defense played in the playoffs against the Packers, despite, you know, like I said, calls could have gone here and there. I thought they played pretty well against Aaron Rodgers, actually. But let's we were going to go through each roster and each position group on each roster, but we want to do that in a consumable amount of time here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's begin just by briefly summarizing the quarterbacks for each team. I've been on the record a bunch here, I think, in the last year that Justin Herbert, my favorite quarterback in the 2020 draft, my favorite young quarterback in the league. Other than if I had to pick two quarterbacks under 30, it would be Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. I think he's got Super Bowl and MVP type ability. And now I've overinflated him. I have one question for you though. if there was anything with regards to throwing 31 touchdowns in 15 games, if there was anything that inflated that number, what was it? And if not, like, could he have thrown even more if he had a better offensive line? Like, what did those 31 touchdowns kind of feel like or look like? And this is some, you know, you're a guy who's watched Philip Rivers for so long, so you've seen quality play at quarterback. What did that first 15 games look like to you?
Yeah, and I think you're rightfully able to ask that question of these pumped up stats, just because you talked about Patrick Mahomes again being one of these quarterbacks, obviously the face of the NFL arguably right now. And some could point at, you know, he still throws a lot of touchdowns, don't get me wrong, but a handful of them are, you know, the little pop passes to guys in motion and shuffle passes and stuff like that that necessarily, you know, aren't so much someone playing the quarterback position to a point to throw a touchdown. It's more or less just executing, you know, motions and stuff like that. But I look back, and maybe you can look back too, but I don't think any of them were along those same lines. There were not jet sweeps. There were not pop passes. There were not shovel passes. I mean, the stuff that you would consider maybe easy touchdowns once you get within the 5-yard line. There were a lot of deep bombs, obviously. I think he was tied or just behind Russell Wilson in touchdown passes of over 50 yards. I think he led the NFL in deep passing yards, or at least was in the top 5-3, somewhere in that category. I mean, he was killing it when it came to the deep ball. And when you look at those touchdowns, it tells the tale. Deep bombs to Ron Johnson, to Jalen Guyton. Mike Williams obviously has his fair share. And then there were plenty of touchdowns that he improvised on. There was, I think, there was one to Keenan Allen against the Saints. It was a beautiful play where he got pushed out of the pocket, rolled to his right, and hit Allen with a bullet near the front right pylon. There was one where I think probably his easiest touchdown was when he got walloped against, I want to say, it might have been, I'm blanking, it might have been the Bills. But he got walloped on like a throwback screen to the fullback Gabe Neighbors, and he got it off just in time for Neighbors to catch it and kind of run in without too much of an effort. So maybe you call that the easiest touchdown, but that's still him getting, you know, smacked in the mouth as he turned around to make the throw. So I mean, really looking back, this guy put in the work. He made smart plays. He did throw 10 interceptions, which really isn't a lot for a rookie quarterback. Especially,
is that his area of improvement? What is the thing he's got to improve?
He really seemed to settle down. Early on, I would have said that, you know, he needs to just forget the last play, move on, push forward. But he ended up getting better at that, honestly. I think if there's anything, maybe learning not to tuck it and run as much. You know, we like design runs, but he took quite a few hits, and he told me the last time we were able to speak with him that he's going to try to stay around 240 pounds, which is larger than he was at Oregon, in order to sustain some form of health while getting smacked in the NFL.
For the Rams, like I said, I love Herbert. I really think that, with improvement around him too, it's really going to be exciting to watch. And the Rams, you know, they will, if they hadn't have made this trade for Matthew Stafford, Herbert might've been, you know, probably already was the best quarterback at SoFi Stadium. I think Stafford, he's got other things going for him as opposed to Herbert, that this one being just, you know, a guy in his early to mid 30s who has had so much experience, but never on consistently winning teams. You know, he made the playoffs a few times, but obviously some of that could have to do with Stafford. Some of it could have to do, or a lot of it should have to do with the Lions. And now he gets to go to a place where, you know, we're really going to see whether, you know, Sean McVay, as we've said, has been held in such a high regard, especially offensively. Beginning in 2017, having turned the Rams around from 32nd to first in points overnight, you know, that gets somebody a lot of respect. So that's going to be interesting to see with Matthew Stafford as opposed to Jared Goff, who I was never very high on. And I think the biggest difference between Goff and Stafford, at least statistically, is last year, Jared Goff was averaging 6.2 intended air yards per pass attempt, which only Drew Brees, I think, had a lower number than that. And Drew Brees is a great quarterback, but was at the end of his career, and also, you know, does a lot of things to make that 6.2 or whatever intended air yards per pass attempt very valuable. And Matthew Stafford averaged 8.7 intended air yards per pass attempt, so 2.5 yards more per pass attempt downfield. And that's the type of difference that I expect to see with the Rams moving forward. Sean McVay opening up his offense, having a player at quarterback who he feels can throw the ball deep accurately and do a lot of other things that I just think Jared Goff never proved able to do under McVay. Maybe in a different situation, he will play differently. I mean, I'm assuming he'll definitely play differently, but whether or not it'll be better or not, we'll see. But for both the Rams and the Chargers, I think quarterback is at least a position that they feel comfortably set for the next couple of years. Definitely, I think in the case of the Chargers, they would feel comfortable for a very long time. And I think the Rams could too, you know, Stafford being 32, it's a position that we've seen you can play for a while. And at least in terms of the only time that matters, which is, you know, the foreseeable future. Let's continue to go down the line here. So I'll just stick with that line of thinking, the offensive line. I know this, can you just tell me, Michael, who are the players and the positions that you feel like you can put down right now starting next year for the Chargers on the offensive line, and what are the positions of need on the offensive line, and are there any internal options that are interesting to you?
Yeah, to be honest, I think the only name I can say for sure that will be back with the Chargers starting on that line is Brian Bulaga, right tackle. Yeah. I think there's so much up in the air, and if you consider Sam Tevi, left tackle, left guard Forrest Lamb, and center Dan Feeney are all, I believe, they're unrestricted free agents. I'm not sure just how many, if at all, of those guys come back. Sam Tevi probably had his best year at left tackle after being mainly a right tackle the last couple of years. This was Forrest Lamb's first season where he stayed healthy the entire time, which is huge news from a Lamb fan, as big as I was back in 2017 when they drafted him. And Dan Feeney, again, has always been the picture of health. But in terms of consistency in play, he has been pretty underwhelming since his rookie season, where he was a bit of a surprise for the Chargers. And then right guard Trey Turner was a guy they traded Russell Okung for prior to the 20 season. And to be honest, Trey Turner just unfortunately wasn't worth the price tag. He's set to make $11.5 million, I believe, next season. And for a guy who played less than half the games, and even when he was on the field, was still very underwhelming, the Chargers could get some really some nice cap space by cutting him. And I don't think that both would be, you know, that much non-well off by doing that. You know, I would like to see a whole revamp of the offensive line aside from Bulaga, but I think they probably re-sign one of those three, Tevi, Lamb, or Feeney, to create some form of continuity with Justin Herbert. And I think if they're going to sign anyone, it should be Lamb and Sam Tevi. I just think Feeney is not worth a second contract. I think he can go somewhere else and try to chase that money. But if anything, I think there's going to be a bunch of new faces. As far as internal options, I don't think there are any. I'll be totally honest. I think Trey Pipkins is not who they thought he was going to be or develop as fast as they hoped. Yeah. Other backups are Scott Questenberry, a former fifth round pick. Cole Turner played right guard when Turner was out. I mean, there's not a lot of brand name, a lot of potential there. So I think they need to sign maybe one or two guys in free agency and maybe draft another one or two to potentially fight for one of those five starting spots.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of change for the LA Chargers and for the LA Rams. I'm going to say probably not a lot of change, if any. Andrew Whitworth had one of his, had definitely one of a much better season than he did in 2019, and maybe one of his better career seasons, if not for an injury that wiped out almost half of the year for him. He's not been said anything about retiring. He'll be turning 40 in December. So we can expect him for now to be the left tackle, the right tackle, Rob Havenstein. He was graded very highly by PFF and some other websites. Sports Info Solutions had him as the highest rated offensive lineman in the league. Not a lot of people shared that eye test, but PFF did rate the Rams with the number three best offensive line last year, for whatever that's worth. And I think that it's a lot of it is just scheme design, things that help out their, maybe their statistics, if you can even call anything like that for offensive line. But there were those two tackles should be back barring a retirement. And then center Austin Blythe is the only free agent. Right guard Austin Corbett will either return at right guard or move over to center, where he once tried him there. And the left guard, it was Joseph Nopum beginning of the year, but then he got hurt and David Edwards took over. David Edwards, who was a fifth round pick in 2019 or 2019, I believe, was pretty good. So he'll be back at left guard. And so it's really just a matter of center. And it would be interesting to see if Brandon Staley is interested in Austin Blythe, either as a center or guard and trying to make any changes there, or if the Rams will take any interest in someone like, one of the Rams players that is exiting, who may be a project if he's not going to be a starter, like a Forrest Lamp or something like that. So that'd be interesting to watch. Let's move on to the offensive weapons. So wide receivers, tight ends. I know that Hunter Henry is a free agent again after getting tagged last year. Do you expect Mike Williams to be back?
I'm a little torn on that because, one, I think if Tom Telesco, he likes the philosophy of draft, resign, develop. So keeping the guys that he brings in the NFL and keep them with the team, developing their system, and he likes the success they get from that. Mike Williams, again, former first-round wide receiver, you can argue he's had maybe 1 year of living up to a top 10 pick, right? That was 2018, where he didn't break 1,000 yards, but he had 11 total touchdowns. He was the first, Chargers wide receiver, I think since 94, to catch at least 10 touchdown passes in a season, which is, a notable stat for him to have.
Yeah.
Broke 1,000 yards the next year, but only had 2 touchdowns. And then 2020 was kind of in the middle. I think he had 4 or 5 touchdowns off the top of my head. I think roughly 700, 800 yards. So again, he's been fine, but is he worth the money he's going to get on the fifth year of his contract? And I just don't think that's the case. I think it's between 12 to 14 million. I think overall it might be a cap hit of 15 million, which is top 5 wide receiver money, or at least close to it. And I think if he comes back to the Chargers, I believe it's they rescind the option, sign him to a team friendly deal. Otherwise, I don't think he can play on his fifth year and have the team be able to make the moves they need in free agency to be as competitively in the immediate for Justin Herbert and in Brandon Staley's first season.
And just wondering, with regards to Keenan Allen, how is that relationship with Herbert?
Oh, it's phenomenal. I think Allen loved Herbert from the get-go. I think you saw it on the field that their chemistry, it was established almost immediately. I mean, right away, he was catching double-digit passes, for sure double-digit targets, obviously, every single game. And he was on pace to potentially have one of his better years before missing the final two games. And he barely played in the game before those last two as well. I think it was against the Raiders. He was more of a decoy, had one catch for 19 yards. So essentially he missed, you could argue, the final three. And he finished, I believe, 3 yards under 1,000 yards. And, if you extrapolate, right, he's probably close to 1,300 receiving yards, probably close to 120 receptions, which would have been a career high. He was about to have a career year, right? So I think, he loved it. But, the team success, when that went down the drain, he realized that he's focused on himself. So he's just chasing his stats, unfortunately, at the moment.
And I wanted to also ask about Jalen Guyton, briefly. Are there any receivers who could step up with a lot more targets?
Yeah, Teron Johnson is a guy that stepped up immediately, before the Bucs game where he caught that huge touchdown pass. He was in Anthony Lynn's office the early that morning or the day before and said, "Coach, I really want to play. Will you please bring me up?" Or he made some case for himself, and Lynn said, "Yes, we are bringing you up." And you obviously saw what he did. So Teron Johnson, immense speed, and just seemed to really also establish a quick connection with Herbert. So he's a guy that I think a lot of fans will need to keep an eye on.
Teron Johnson caught 20 of 26 targets for 398 yards and averaged 20 yards per catch and 15 yards per target, which is huge, even though, you know, it's 26, only 26 targets, but still it's very interesting. The Rams still have Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Like I said, a lot is going to continue to be the same. Woods and Kupp, but Josh Reynolds is a free agent, might be a player who the Chargers would like if they did cut Mike Williams and if they wanted to find another sort of bigger, deeper target. But the Rams, you know, a lot of hope pinned on Van Jefferson, second round pick last year, the oldest receiver in the draft, but one of the least productive as a rookie. So it'll be interesting to watch to see if there's development there with Van Jefferson because of the addition of Matthew Stafford. But I think the addition of Matthew Stafford is meant to improve a lot of the other needs and positions. So speaking of that, let's continue down the line, which is running backs. You got Austin Eckler. I know that there was Josh Kelly was drafted last year and also had Justin Jackson in tow. Is running back going to be anything that is a need this year for the Chargers?
Possibly. I think behind Austin Eckler, you've obviously got some issues with inexperience and you've got health issues. And some may argue that Austin Eckler isn't exactly a true RB1, right? A bell cow type guy. But that's not what the NFL really is these days. Austin Eckler is a Kamara type player where they may only get half the rushes, maybe the majority, maybe not, but, you know, close to 10, 11 rushes, but still catch maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7 passes and get targeted a lot in the passing game. So he's going to get 20 plus touches. But he may not just be, again, this bell cow type rusher. Behind him, you have Justin Jackson, who has never stayed healthy for a single season early in his career. Joshua Kelly was one of the most inefficient running backs in the NFL for ball carries that I believe had at least 100 carries in during the season. Behind that, you've got Darius Bradwell, a UDFA. Tremaine Pope comes and goes as a former UDFA. So there's not a lot of established experience at that position. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see the Chargers potentially pick a guy in the draft or maybe even sign a veteran to just add some form of depth in 2021.
Yeah, veteran, you know, one potential veteran might be Malcolm Brown, who is a free agent, potentially leaving the Rams this year after 5 seasons with the team. And so maybe Malcolm Brown could fill a role for you or another team. The Rams will be starting Cam Akers, and they still have Darrell Henderson there, who started out last season as a starter and did okay, but just wasn't as explosive as Cam Akers was at the end of the year, not as explosive and impactful as Akers was. So the Rams, you know, they could have a need there. I think that the bigger need would be for the Rams, just looking at the offensive needs for the Rams, their needs would be interior of the offensive line, specifically maybe center. And they would also, I think maybe it could look for a tight end, a receiving threat tight end. So, you know, I think that Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp would both be capable, and they've proved capable of being deep threats. They just weren't able to be deep threats with Jared Goff the last couple of years. But if there was another big tight end, you know, if the Rams could spend a lot of money, you know, it might be someone like a Jonu Smith or Zach Ertz or something like that. They probably won't be able to do that, but I think maybe a tight end could be maybe an interesting need, but obviously interior of the offensive line probably takes the top spot. What would you see as the Chargers' top offensive needs?
I mean, you can't look away from offensive tackle and potentially offensive guard, right? They need at least a left tackle for this next season, and they may have to replace both guards. So this is a draft where, kind of like 2017, when they did draft Lamb and then and Feeney right after him, they're probably going to have to double dip at offensive line. And I think this is a good class to do it. I think the tackle class is deeper than people think. It is an underwhelming interior line draft with some of the top guys being Wyatt Davis of Ohio State, Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma. But if they pick a tackle in the first round, I think there's going to be a really good guard or center, whatever they prefer at the time in that second round.
All right, looking at the defenses for each team and starting with the defensive line for the Rams, defensive player of the year, Aaron Donald returns again, and that'll be the strength of the team. And around him, it'll be interesting to see if anything changes. A'shaun Robinson and Michael Brockers return, but both could potentially be cap casualty candidates. Sebastian Joseph Day plays pretty good. He's been a decent value for what he is. But, you know, the Rams probably their only potential defensive line need would depend if they do cut somebody. And also Morgan Fox is a free agent who played surprisingly quite well at the end of the year and might be a bigger loss than many expect. But right now, I would say their defensive line for the Rams is always going to be a strength as long as they have Aaron Donald. And now Brandon Staley goes from coaching Aaron Donald to Joey Bosa. What else is going on with the Chargers? How did Bosa look last year and the rest of the players around him?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Man, this defense is, it's like most years, it's going to be filled with potential. You know, you got the building blocks, like you said, Joey Bosa, Derwin James is hopefully coming back. It's so weird to think that this man.
Starting with just with the defensive line.
I apologize. I think you broke up a little bit. Apologies. Defensive line. So, yes, this is where the Chargers used to hang their hat on. It used to be Bosa and it used to be Melvin Ingram. And they've always been on these lists of top pass rushing duos year in and year out. And unfortunately, they got an extremely underwhelming year from their defensive line outside of Joey Bosa in 2020. Melvin Ingram was paid $14 million. This guy got held out to get some form of guaranteed money because he had none prior to 2020. Got $14 million, and unfortunately in 7 games that he was healthy for, had 0 tackles for loss, 0 sacks, which is, again, that doesn't tell you the whole story of his play, but it's hard to justify those types of numbers. And Justin Jones, I think, had his first sack of his career. I think he told the media after the season he was pumped about that. But that's in year 3 for the guy, albeit a defensive tackle. Chinna Nwosu was a bright spot. He was second on the team in sacks, but for the life of me, could not find the field for some reason. Coaches said they liked him in more of a rotational role, despite being the best guy at getting after the quarterback other than Bosa. Jared Tillery saw a spark a little bit, ended up being a guy who had too many penalties called against him. His progression looked to be going up and kind of tapered off again. I think this is a position that needs to get rejuvenated with some life. Obviously, Linval Joseph came in and brought a lot of effort, brought a different type of play, a true nose tackle for this defense to work with. But overall, I think this group needs a lot of work to put the right type of talent around Joey Bosa, especially the type of players that he deserves to play with.
Yeah. And Brandon Staley, coming from his history, having worked with the Bears defense under Vic Fangio, where he worked with Khalil Mack and then, so they're great linebackers. And then he goes to Denver, works with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb before he got injured. And then he goes to the Rams and he's working with Aaron Donald and, he's in Leonard Floyd. And so he's worked with these players. So I would imagine that he's going to be able to attract talent in free agency, as well as being able to get the most out of these players. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the Chargers linebackers. For the Rams linebackers, last season, Leonard Floyd having 10.5 sacks, which was a career high, although, they really were bunched up into 3 games, 2 against the Seahawks. So he really, they were just the Brandon Staley had great plans for how to get the Seahawks down, I guess. And so Leonard Floyd benefited from that. But he'll be a free agent. I don't know if I expect him to be back. The Rams have not a lot of name players in their linebacking group, and that's why it could be one of their biggest needs in the draft and in free agency to go out there and look for linebackers. With regards to the Chargers, it was very interesting to see them draft Kenneth Murray and trade up. Not only that, but Tom Telesco never trades in the draft, traded up for Kenneth Murray in the first round. So I'm really curious to see how Kenneth Murray did and whether or not the Chargers have any other interesting linebackers.
Yeah, I think that's a position that had a ton of excitement going into 2020. Unfortunately, in that first game against the Bengals, on the second defensive drive, Drew Tranquil, who was a very promising rookie, went down with a broken ankle, and everyone saw it. It almost happened in slow motion with an offensive lineman kind of pulled out to lead up on a screen for the running back. And Tranquil's foot got caught in the turf. He fell from that. And then you saw the lineman just fall on top of him. And you almost knew instantaneously that he was hurt. And so he missed the entire season, unfortunately. But that was a guy who blocked two punts as a rookie on special teams and was a guy who has a lot of athleticism. I got the chance to talk to him at the Senior Bowl a couple years ago. And high quality guy, just was going to come in and obviously was a starter to begin the season. Kenneth Murray comes in as well, uber athletic, true sideline to sideline range. His growing pains, though, were finding his groove in coverage. This was a guy who did not cover anyone but running backs out of the backfield at Oklahoma. When I spoke to his coach, Brian Odom, their linebackers coach at OU, he said that he believed he had the ability to do it, but he was not asked to do that all that much. He was on, he was basically like, if the quarterback looked like he was going to run, he blitzed. And if the running back went somewhere, he followed the running back. So that's where he'll have to improve. Did a little bit better the second half of the season. So we like Kenneth Murray. Brandon Staley did say he's going to stay in the middle. So if they go to a 3-4, he will be a middle backer for the Chargers, in case anyone was wondering. Other than that, Kaiser White has shown some potential, got hurt after a couple games of his rookie season that were very promising. Athletic guy, again, there is just, in general, a lot of athleticism, a lot of talent here, but they're young. So give them maybe another year or two to gel together. But otherwise, this is a pretty exciting linebacker group.
The Rams have a very exciting cornerback, Jalen Ramsey. Troy Hill is a free agent. Darius Williams is a restricted free agent that I think the Rams would love to keep. So it looks like the Rams could be looking for a Troy Hill replacement. David Long Jr., a third round pick in 2019, has not done anything to date. So it seems like the Rams would be in the need for a cornerback if they're not able to retain Troy Hill. And one of the teams that could be going after him maybe would be Brandon Staley and the Chargers. What is the situation at cornerback for the Chargers?
It's a group that really had a ton of talent. Again, heading into the season, this was probably viewed as the most elite, best secondary in the country. And then all of a sudden, Desmond King's traded after four or five games to the Titans. Derwin James goes out. But in cornerback specifically, Casey Hayward, unfortunately, looked like he lost a step. I think in terms of yards he allowed, missed tackle percentage, they were essentially worse than his past two seasons combined. I mean, he was just couldn't find a groove, could not catch a break. He was just getting exploited by opposing quarterbacks, especially in scramble drills. He was just not able to keep up with his man for longer than, you know, the first couple plays, seconds into the game. Chris Harris, I thought, played well, but unfortunately he missed a good chunk of the season and maybe didn't find his groove either with this new team, even though he was with a former coach of his and Ron Miles. And then you've got Mike Davis, who is a free agent. I think he's priority number one for the Chargers to re-sign, even over Hunter Henry. I think he's that important. He's got the speed. You've got people like Doug Farrar of USA Today saying he's one of the best zone corners in the league. I mean, not just, top of his team, but one of the best in the NFL. So he's got a lot of love out there. I do like Michael Davis. But behind those three, you've got undrafted free agents and Brandon Faison, Tavon Campbell, former CFL player, and some guys that you just don't have a lot of confidence in. So overall, this is a draft where I think the Chargers may have to go cornerback in either round two or round three.
Okay. The Rams could also be looking at cornerback on day two. And they did that at safety in 2020 when they drafted Terrell Burgess, which is they took Terrell Burgess in the third round. And they have Terrell Burgess, and they have their other safety is Jordan Fuller, who they drafted in the sixth round. Jordan Fuller, full-time starter as a rookie last year, ahead of Terrell Burgess, you know, in terms of being important to the defense last year. But Burgess, you know, he could slide into that slot cornerback position or stick at safety and compete to replace John Johnson, who will be a free agent. It seems hard for the Rams to be able to re-sign John Johnson. So the Rams situation at safety is that they're okay. They've got Taylor Rapp, who's also potentially a candidate to play linebacker because he's not a very good coverage safety. So, and he was a second round pick a couple of years ago. So the Rams, they've got a lot of options at safety, although you know, it's interesting. They don't, may not have any guy with as high of a ceiling with John Johnson. It's just not really clear at this point yet. I know that everybody loves Derwin James and wants to see him be able to be healthy. Assuming that that happens, you know, Michael, what else do the Rams have it? Excuse me. Do the Chargers have it safety? Do you think that Brandon Staley would have any reason to call up his buddy, John Johnson, who was calling all the plays on his defense last year?
You know, I think there's a lot of possibility there. I hadn't looked into John Johnson a ton this offseason yet, but I, you know, started seeing a lot of love from other people saying that he would be a great fit for the Chargers. So I started looking in and realizing this guy was a good deep safety, and the Chargers are going to be running more cover two than they have been in terms of, they've been a huge cover three team, obviously, with Gus Bradley. But bringing in John Johnson, who could contrast with Derwin James, who Staley already said is going to be moved all around the defense, just like he always has been, phenomenal player that he is. I think a guy like Johnson, a true single high safety that can stay back there and you don't have to worry about too much. I think that'd be a great call, because you look at the safety group now, they may lose Rayshon Jenkins if they don't feel like paying him on his new contract. Nasir Adderley, former second round pick from Delaware, hasn't obviously missed his first season, and his second season missed a lot of tackles, just didn't look like he was comfortable with the game at all. If you want, again, to talk about a move where it would maximize the immediate success of the Chargers this coming season, I think John Johnson does fit in those plans.
You know, the Rams would hate to lose him, and I know the Rams fans would too, but the Rams like to try and draft, you know, a year ahead of when they expect to lose somebody. So they drafted Terrell Burgess last year. They drafted Terrell Lewis, who might be able to fill Leonard Floyd's spot as a pass rushing linebacker if Terrell Lewis is able to stay healthy, which has never been the case. But looking at the Rams' defensive needs, I would say cornerback would be up there, and linebacker, of course, might be number one. But you know, edge rusher would be a third consideration. And it might be that they would look at safety again. And because there is such a huge need for those hybrid type of players who could be safeties, could be linebackers, could be cornerbacks, and could cover some of these dangerous tight end and slot options that the NFL has to offer now. Running backs, there's so many different types of players that you have to cover these days. What would you say are the Chargers' biggest needs on defense?
I think top two for sure are going to be cornerback and edge rusher. I think I just spoke about cornerbacks being an older group, and the one that has a talent and youth on his side is Mike Davis. Otherwise, you're too old, or otherwise you just don't have much going for you there. And then the second one being edge rusher. I think they're going to lose Melvin Ingram. And with them potentially moving to a different defense, maybe they don't want an end that is mirroring Bosa to be someone like Chinna Nwosu, who's only 6'2", 240 pounds. Maybe they want someone a little bit bigger in size, maybe a more true base end there. And again, this is a good class to potentially to find one. Guys like Basham from Wake Forest. You got Ojulari from Georgia. I mean, some good pass rushers. And then in terms of free agents, obviously there's Leonard Floyd. A lot of people think he may end up with the Chargers as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's followed Staley so far. I also have to ask you, because, you know, the Rams, they don't have any first-round picks. They won't have any first-round picks. You can't even – I was trying to think if I could even do an article about the 2023 first-round draft picks, and the Rams don't have that. So there's just no real way to talk about first-round picks. The Chargers, they have an okay one this year. Last year they had a very high one. They got Herbert. I'm just kind of curious who your dream pick would be, or who a lot of Chargers fans are dreaming of it to be.
Well, I think the dream would be Penei Sewell, but he's more than likely gone in the top five. After that, I think it's offensive tackle or bust. So you're looking at Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, versatile guy, can play all five positions, can still play tackle in the NFL. Elijah Vera Tucker is another guy. Again, position versatile, just was phenomenal for the Trojans. He's right in the backyard of the team. I think he would just help in terms of bringing easy fans to the Chargers as well. We're still talking about that fan ordeal. I think those would probably be the dream picks. I think anyone, most of the fan base at least, would be upset if they pick anyone else that's not an offensive lineman in the first round.
Do you have any positional fears, like that they'll draft a wide receiver? Is there any like one position that you're like, this would be the worst and it would be a Chargers thing to do?
Yeah, I think that would be wide receiver. It would be cool, I guess, for Kyle Pitts, who obviously the top tight end, might as well just be a big wide receiver in this draft class. It'd be cool to add him into offense, but this fan base is just seeing far too often, over and over and over again, this offensive line holding the team back. And if this isn't the year with a new coach to kind of turn the tables around on that, to show you you're committed to that important position group up front, then I don't know what is. So it would definitely be a skill position player on offense.
Yeah. So finally, I'm curious about the 2021 expectations. For me and the LA Rams, I got to say that I do think that the Rams are the best team in the NFC West after acquiring Matthew Stafford. They were right there with the Seahawks as the best team in the division last year. And I think that they made the bigger move. It's such a huge difference from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford, in my opinion. And I think that a lot of people see a huge difference in how the offense is able to perform with a different quarterback next season. And even if the defense isn't number one, I think so long as they're in the top 10, as long as they're respectable, which when you have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, it's hard not to be, then I expect the Rams to be in the competition for the number one seed in the NFC and, up there with the Green Bay Packers as very, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as very obvious to me, Super Bowl competitors next season. And I think the Seahawks are among the teams and the Saints that have taken steps back. So I do have expectations for the Rams to go, 13-4, 14-3, these crazy ass records that we're supposed to now remember to predict now that it's 17 games. But I think the Rams are up there as the best team in the NFC. What are your thoughts on the Chargers next season?
Expectations are going to be high. I mean, again, from the talent that's on paper to the coaching staff and everything that they've told us and kind of expressed for them to be, expectations are going to be very high. Offense, again, has everything they need. Defense, should they stay healthy? Again, and this all is under the umbrella of if the team stays healthy, which is a tough thing to ask for the Chargers. But it's just, unfortunately, something that kind of comes with being a fan of this team. In terms of record, I don't think it's out of the ordinary to say that it could be double-digit wins, a 10-7, 11-6. I think no matter what, they're going to be behind the Chiefs until they just show that they're the better team. I think, again, to be the best, you got to take down the best. And until they show that they can handle the Chiefs, that this is going to be their division. So if they make the playoffs, it's a wild card. And if they, have a good season, I think, again, probably 10-7, some form of a winning record just over 500.
I got to say, I'm maybe it's just because I'm this kind of guy, but I did feel I had very positive feelings about the Bucs a year ago. Even without Tom Brady, I had very positive kind of feelings for the Bucs and the season that they would have. And I look at the LA Chargers. I don't think that the plan has to wait two or three more years. I think that in the modern NFL, you've seen Patrick Mahomes take his team to the Super Bowl in his second season as a starter. You've seen have a lot of success in his first season as a starter. You've seen Russell Wilson go to the Super Bowl in his second season as a starter. You've seen the Eagles go to the Super Bowl in Carson Wentz's second season as a starter, even if Wentz wasn't in the playoffs. You've seen the Rams go to the Super Bowl in the third year of Jared Goff and really the second year of him and Sean McVay. So it was 1 year of Justin Herbert. Maybe this second year, maybe this is too soon. And a lot of people, and maybe it is, maybe the first year of Brandon Staley, maybe it's really maybe next year will be the year, maybe 2022, but I have no problems. I have no qualms. I like Justin Herbert a lot. I think even drafting a tackle in the first round, these guys have proven a lot more capable of being NFL ready. All of the tackles in the first round last year were 21 years old, and you had Tristan Wirfs win a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. You had Jedrick Wills help the Browns win the first playoff game in 25 years. So I think that the Chargers can draft a tackle, he can immediately help the offensive line. Justin Herbert takes the next step forward. And this is me now making a long pitch about the Chargers. But, you know, for me, I like the Chargers a lot. And I'll even go as far to predict a Rams-Chargers Super Bowl next season. Briefly, you know, Michael, tell me why I'm wrong.
Why you're wrong? Well, you know, as great as that sounds, and it would be ideal for, again, two of us who cover the team, you know, a trip to potentially go to the Super Bowl to do that would be absolutely fantastic. I would just tell you again, involving any prediction that involves the Chargers and positivity, to just remember that this is a team that has a knack for really bad luck. And when they make history, which seems to be, you know, whether it's good or bad, I think it's more on the bad side. For every Justin Herbert for the Chargers, they get five seasons of blowing double-digit leads, you know, however many in a row to set a new record, right? So I'll just say that for the Chargers to make the Super Bowl, they'll have to exercise an incredible amount of demons in terms of the injury bug, yeah. Blown leads, just everything in that negative category. You know, the Chargers have to exercise some form of demons. So I like the prediction, but just remember which team you're talking about here.
That's fair. That is completely fair. Maybe that is, you know, somebody from the outside really looking in, because from the inside, you know, I understand what that those demons must feel like. Yes, Michael, thank you so much for joining me on this joint podcast, Pod TST and LA Weekly. No, that's the name of the magazine. Chargers Daily, because you got a Chargers Lately, because you use the LA. That's what it is. You Chargers Lately. Any parting thoughts for the listeners today?
Not a whole lot. I'm glad we covered all this stuff. I'm glad we got to talk about both these teams. There's tons to be excited about. Each team has star power out the wazoo. Yeah. And in a town like Los Angeles, where it's not normal unless there is star power coming out the wazoo, it's just phenomenal for both fan bases. To get fans finally in SoFi Stadium, hopefully to some degree next year, will be fantastic. Whether that means potentially me or you finally getting to go there. And yeah. Obviously I haven't seen the stadium yet. You have, but just to be able to have that experience would be phenomenal this season. So tons of reason to be excited, and the fans again should be just absolutely stoked.
That's it for this episode of Pod TST and Chargers Lately. Thank you for listening. And let's see if that SoFi Stadium battle for who is the home team happens next year.